hear a reading from Matthew 26, 26 through 28. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body." He took a cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for so many that their sins may be forgiven. I tell you, I won't drink wine again until the day when I drink it in a new way with you in my Father's kingdom." The word of God for the people of God.
Supper. In many ways, it was the last time Jesus gathered with his disciples before that night of arrest, betrayal, denial, suffering, and pain. It was the last night he gathered before he greeted them in the new kingdom. But it was at that last supper, following one of the oldest traditions of the Jewish faith, the Seder meal, the commemoration of God's deliverance of his people from Egypt, Jesus took something old and he made it something new. He took the bread. He took the bread, he broke the bread, and he said, "This is my body that is broken for you." It becomes a gift. It becomes a symbol of grace. And then he took the cup. He took the wine that was used in the Seder. And he said, "This wine becomes the new covenant in my blood." Something old has become something new. Today, on a day of new beginnings, today, as we open a new chapter in the life of our church, we're going to do something old. we're going to observe the greatest symbol of our faith, the Lord's table. But we're going to do it in a new way. We're going to do it because we welcome a new day. We're going to begin by serving the East. You all are in the Eastern section. Did you know that? The East is the section of new beginnings. Just as this is a table of new beginnings, the sun always rises in the East. The temple faced the East. In the early church, all of the church doors opened to the East. And so we will begin with this section, and since we have our new associate minister, we're going to let her lead the service. She will be serving each section. What we'd like to do for those of you in the East, we're going to ask you to remain seated. Our deacons, Megan, and seven deacons will come and they will serve you. And we ask you to immediately partake of the elements. In the book of Isaiah, it says, "Whoever is thirsty, come, because the water and the bread of life is free." God's grace is free. We want you to go ahead and partake with joy, partake of God's new creation. And as you are receiving communion, the rest of us will stand and we will sing. And Beverly, I'm going to ask you, if you don't mind, we're going to sing that hymn again. Let us break bread together. And I'm going to ask Megan to come and let me give you a tray, and I'll invite seven deacons to come and join her. And they will begin to serve the East as the rest of us. Okay, y'all can go. We're not going to be too formal. Bread. And as we begin to serve, I invite the rest of you to stand and let us sing together. Let us break bread. Be seated.
A reading from John 15, 9 through 17. As the Father loved me, I too have loved you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in love, just as I kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy will be in you and your joy will be complete. "This is my commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. No one has greater love than to give up one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because servants do not know what their master is doing. Instead, I call you friends, because everything I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You didn't choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you so that you could go and produce fruit, and so that your fruit could last. As a result, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. I give you these commandments so that you can love each other." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Not once, but twice in the upper room, Jesus said, "I'm leaving you with a new commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." This table is a table of love. Jesus also said there is no greater love than one who lays down his life for his friends. So we gather around a table of love. And in acknowledging this, we will now serve the West. While the East is new beginnings, the West is a new frontier. The West is possibility. The West is the future. We don't know exactly where God will lead us, but we know that He is faithful, that He will lead us to great things in the future. And so I'm going to invite those of you in the Western section to remain seated, and everyone else will stand, and we will sing "Where Love Is Found," and we will serve you communion. Seated. Has everyone in the West been served? Has everyone in the East been served? We will now focus on the center. Megan will come and share God's word with us.
Good morning. Hear a reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 17, verses 20 through 23. I'm not praying only for them, but also for those who believe in me because of their word. I pray they will be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. I pray that also will be in us, so that the world will believe that you sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, so that they can be one just as we are one. I am in them, and you are in me, so that they will be made perfectly one. Then the world will know that you sent me, and that you have loved them just as you loved me. The word of God for the people of God.
The Gospel of John gives us more details about what happened that night in the upper room than any of the other Gospels. I've always thought it was significant that the very last thing that Jesus did, and it's recorded in the 17th chapter of John, part of what Megan just read, was he concluded his time with the disciples with a prayer, a beautiful prayer. And in that prayer, he prayed for unity. He prayed that all of his children would become one. It's a prayer that we need to hear today. The miracle of this table that is a table of unity is we come from different backgrounds. We come from the east and the west, the north and the south. We come from different perspectives, different traditions. We're all different. We have different ideas. We have different views, we have different politics, but we're all together, we're all unified by this, the table of our Lord. When we take the bread, the body that was broken, when we take the cup, the blood that was shed, we become one in Christ Jesus. So now we serve the center, symbolizing the unity, the foundation of our congregation, of our family of faith. And as Megan and our deacons serve the center, the choir will lead us in a beautiful anthem that speaks of the Lord's table. Has everyone in the center been served? Everyone been served. This table is also a table of forgiveness. And Megan will come and share a reading from one of Paul's epistles.
A reading from Romans 5:8. But God shows his love for us, because while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The word of God for the people of God.
Most every Sunday, we share the Lord's Prayer. Remember, we pray that God would forgive us our trespasses. As we forgive those who trespass against us. It is only through the sacrifice of the cross. It is only through the broken bread and the blood that was spilled that we can forgive others, because we have received this forgiveness from God. Perhaps it is when we forgive that we are closer to the heart of God. When we extend mercy and grace, we are closer to God's presence. So now we will serve the balcony. The balcony that is high and lifted up. Megan, I don't know if people sit up there because they feel closer to God or because they're farther away from me. Not exactly sure. But I want you to know that I see you up there every Sunday. And I know where most of you sit, just like I do down on this level. So we're going to talk about forgiveness. And we're going to ask Megan and our deacons to make their way to the balcony. It's a long way up there. Megan, be careful. Don't trip on those stairs going up there because they're steep. But Megan and the deacons will greet you in just a moment in the balcony, and we want you to remain seated, and the rest of us will stand and we will sing together, Jesus Paid It All. Has everyone in the balcony been served? Everyone has been served. This table is not just a table of forgiveness, not just a table of love and unity and new beginnings. This is a table of joy. This is a table that makes our joy complete because this is a table in which we experience the presence of Christ. And Megan is going to share a scripture with us in which Jesus says it makes his joy complete.
A reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 16, verses 16 through 22. Soon you won't be able to see me. Soon after that, you will see me. Some of Jesus' disciples said to each other, "What does he mean, soon you won't see me, and soon after that you will see me? And because I'm going to the Father, what does he mean by soon? We don't understand what he's talking about." Jesus knew they wanted to ask him, so he said, "Are you trying to find out from each other what I meant when I said, 'Soon you won't see me, and soon after that you will see me'? I assure you that you will cry and lament, and the world will be happy. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. When a woman gives birth, she has pain because her time has come. But when the child is born, she no longer remembers her distress because of her joy that a child has been born into the world. In the same way, you have sorrow now. But I will see you again, and you will be overjoyed. No one takes away your joy." The word of God for the people of God.
What great words on joy. And as we gather around this table, we rejoice because we're part of the kingdom of God. Now, when I think about joy every Sunday, I think about our wonderful sanctuary choir. Because they sing praises. They lift us up to the heavenly places. This is joyful. You make more than a joyful noise. You make beautiful music. And so now we're going to invite the choir to do something they don't get to do often. We're going to invite them to sit and to listen. Because the rest of us are going to stand and we're going to sing to the choir. We're going to sing "Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound." And as we sing, Megan and the deacons will serve the members of the choir.
Thank you.
How did we sound? That was good? You know, Paul, there are a lot of good singers out here. Were you taking notes? Because we have more room in the choir. Has everyone in the choir been served? Everyone has been served. There's one group we have not served. We haven't served the servants. At the very beginning of this night in which Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, he performed a powerful and a significant act of humility and service. An act that was so great, the disciples immediately recognized that they did not deserve it. Megan shares with us now what happened in the opening moments of the upper room.
A reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verses 1 through 5. Before the festival of Passover, Jesus knew that his time had come to leave this world and to go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them fully. Jesus and his disciples were sharing the evening meal. The devil had already provoked Judas, Simon's son, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew the Father had given everything into his hands, that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the table and took off his robe. Picking up a linen towel, he tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a wash basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel he was wearing. The word of God for the people of God.
God has called all of us to be servants. But in the church, we have ministers and we have deacons who have been called out by the congregation to be servants to one another and servants to the greater community. Our new minister, Megan, is a servant. That's who ministers are. We serve. We serve this congregation, and she has served every section of this congregation this morning. Our deacons have also been called to be servants within this fellowship, to be servants in this community. As we stand and sing together, "Take My Life, Lead Me, Lord," Megan and I will serve the servants, and then we will serve each other. Just remain standing. Has all the servants, have you been served? Has everyone in this sanctuary been served? Has everyone been served? The truth is, everyone has not been served. We have children less than a block away from this church who got up this morning and didn't have food to eat for breakfast. This past three weeks, we've had Camp Kiwanis, and every week I've received a call from the director saying, we have children who don't have shoes. We've provided shoes for those children, by the way. We have children who will start school in the fall, and they don't have school supplies. You see, while we have been served, we have a community that is in need of God's love and God's grace in a great, great way. Megan, come here. You've worked hard this morning. So Megan's been all over this sanctuary, but she still needed the help of the deacons. So deacons, come and join me. I want you to join hands with me. Megan can only do so much. Megan and I together can only do so much. But there's still so many others. So young people, come and join us over here. How about you come and join this circle? How about those of you over here, if you could either form a circle or in the balcony, in the choir, if everyone would join hands together. Has everyone been served? No, they haven't been served. But joining hands together and working together as a community of faith, we're going to be able to serve so many more people in this community. We're so grateful to have Megan to begin her pilgrimage, her spiritual journey, her ministry with us. But she's going to need your help. She's going to need everyone's help. So let us make a commitment today that we will go beyond the walls of this church to serve others. In Jesus' name. And we're going to conclude this service with another old tradition. Well, it's not that old. Cherry Coon started this tradition, singing Sweet, Sweet Spirit every time we have communion. And I don't know of a better way for us to end. So let us sing together, and then we will go forth rejoicing, and we will share God's love with this community. Let us sing.